Thank you. I am Ben, and I am an alcoholic.
Amen.
How in the hell are y'all doing tonight?
Woo-hoo. Excellent.
I'm going to make this up as I go. I have these couple of notes on this cell phone, and cell phone's on airplane mode, and the volume's down, so if anything dings on the calendar, probably won't. This is where I'm supposed to be the next hour, so that's where I should be. Oh my gracious. My sobriety date is October 1st of 2023, so it's not that long ago, and I call that really my abstinence date. I started with two home groups pretty closely. I went many a strange camel. I appreciate being with other men working through this program, you know. My second home group was at the time Downtown Young and Sober. And I got to admit, you know, I love them still. I still go to those meetings. And I formed a resentment around them. So it has nothing to do with them. It's mine, my resentment, right? And so in spinning this the way I wanted to do, that's going to come up with our sponsors, with our sponsees, with our home groups. And I still love them dearly. I have a sponsor. I have two sponsors, two formal sponsors. And I've probably got a phone full of, I'd say, at least 100 people with the acronym AA right behind it. A couple NA guys who I work with, friends. It's vital for me to stay plugged in. A couple counselors, a couple yoga teachers who are friends of mine. And so all these people are my touchstones to my sanity. And I've got to say, you know, that this last year and a half, 2 years, really just over 2 years, has been amazing to me. And I'm going to back up from October 1st, 2023, get back to March 23rd of 2023, was the day I woke up from a good buzz with my dad, but that buzz was truncated. We killed a bottle of wild turkey over on the Eastern Shore. I'm going to jump around a little bit. Over in one of the yurts. Y'all know what a yurt is?
Yeah.
My dad actually challenged me the Christmas before to that word on a Scrabble table, and I beat him because he did not think yurt was spelled Y-U-R-T. I knew how it was spelled. How dare he? He's an English teacher. He should have fucking known. Nah, should have freaking known that any also. I'll watch my cuss words a little bit, but I'm in a church and I'm trying to get better because I've got a ground-pounding sailor's mouth. I've noticed when I meditate and pray more that I don't feel like doing those words so much. And I can't blame it on my 16-year-old who's going to public schools. So to back up, you know, March of 2023, it became obvious, you know, I was looking at about 10 months of separation with my wife informally. I'd lived out of the house for almost a year at that point. And I'm very grateful for having a carpentry trade, you know, hard labor. I never went through recovery from alcohol and drugs. I went through recovery from mental health, and that's not separate from this story. It's a part of this story. Long lineage. I mean, I can track back almost 300 years of relatives from mestizo, mulatto blood, mostly French, Irish, you know, in a big mix. And specifically the last 100 years, I can look back and see the destructiveness of alcohol and drugs, but primarily the destructiveness of thinking. And I'm going to go back to that in a minute. I can't believe I'm actually not sweating right now. And I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. No, I'm not on any drugs. Except for some power greater than me. So 2023, yeah, my dad and I polished off this wild turkey, and you know, he had fallen down or was fumbling around. He's 82 at the time. He's 84 now. He'll be 85 in September. And he fell down. I tried to pick him up, put him on my back, you know, because my dad's a little dude, 5'4", 150, 160 pounds, Vietnam era fucking Marine, piss and vinegar, depression era baby, deep south Mississippi, Louisiana. Man, I'm telling you, Bayou Boogaloo baby. I mean, he's the man. And I love this guy dearly. This program has helped me do that. Without this program, I wouldn't be able to get beyond myself with the power and grace of God. I'm probably going to have 3 or 4 of these moments, maybe a couple more, maybe less. I'll be surprised. It's been emotional last couple years. Almost every day, every other day, I'm in either tears of joy or mild pain because I have dived down for a moment and feel something pulling me back up, and that's my breath, and it's God's breath, and it's remembering the simple stuff. You know, get back up on your feet, be thankful, and if you're not thankful, if you're not grateful, practice fake it. You can fake this. You can actually act like you're grateful and speak the words and think the words while you got a pit in your stomach or a twist in your gut, and feel yourself coming out of this and onto your feet. And so I tried to get my bat up. Back to the story, I got my dad back up on my back. I should stay here, shouldn't I?
No.
Is it, how far? I might have to do a headstand. I won't do that. I was tree hugging earlier. I won't do a headstand, promise. Not right now. But, you know, he fell down, and I tried to get him back up on my shoulders. And both of us, we've polished off a considerable amount of wild turkey, you know, straight, because why do anything else? Why do anything else? And he fell, kind of fell over my shoulders as he's struggling, and boom, hit right on his head and neck and crumpled down. And I bent down to check him out, checking his ears and neck, and I said, don't move, you know, I got you, man, hold up. And as I was bending down, I felt this cold breeze come over me and shivered me and sobered me up quick. And I heard these words, go to AA. Not go to Alcoholics Anonymous, go to AA. That was just the beginning. That's just a little pinhole of the story. And was that God? Was it my schizoaffective nature? My mental health nature? Well, that's for somebody else to decide. For me to let go. Because what is really the difference between a mystical experience or a spiritual experience and mental health? I mean, there's arguably times for both to be seen from that lens. And moving on, the next day I went and got a big book. This was a Monday. We had a good buzz. And Tuesday I was over at Balm and Wall and St. Paul's Boulevard, St. Paul's Episcopal Church in downtown Norfolk. Same church about 15 years ago I'd slept in when I'd been hospitalized at a psychiatric institute, indirectly related to drugs and alcohol primarily. But long story short, got in that, picked up the big book, went back to the yurt, and read that first 164 pages. You know, when you got Steve Showalter, excuse my last name, sorry, Steve S., and Richard Dick, who's passed away, God rest his soul, and half a dozen other people in there. I'm looking at 4 or 5 people with 250 plus years of sobriety. I'm like, Jesus, that's a talk about a bottom being brought up to you. I mean, who was there? Who did I pass on the highway going to the Eastern Shore that was praying and felt good about themselves? Whose hand did I shake the week before that was helping me? Invisibly, so to speak, lift me out of my funk or get me to a place where I could see the teacher. I wasn't ready 20 years ago. I wasn't ready 30 years ago. I mean, I had been mandated by the U.S. Army to go to NA classes, and I blew that out of the water. I wasn't ready for that. You know, that went back to the meetings, got the paper signed, and said, screw it, man. You know, this is not. It stayed out. Screwed up a perfectly good law enforcement career with 80th Military Police Company at Fort Eustis. They got activated. I got on broke dick status and never, you know, and eventually I was able to ETS with an honorable discharge. But you know, the first 164 pages, I felt like I was home. That did not cure me from going back out about 6 months later and creating consequences that shuttered my world and shuttered another young lady's world. And luckily we're still able to be friends with each other. Not to mention my wife I'd been married to for 15 years. And my daughter, who luckily didn't find out about all the consequences. She was 14 at the time. She didn't need to know. But, you know, and even though those first 164 pages were great, and I felt like I was home, I still thought I could manage this. I have got this. I was going up to Yogaville, where I'm a yoga teacher, where I'm meditating, all this bullshit. It's not really a cuss word, right? I can say it in like a Louisiana accent. Bullshit. Bayou bullshit. I'll stop while I'm ahead. You guys are a tough crowd.
Got me, man.
Doing great.
You know, it was October 1st was my new sobriety date. So this was end of September. I'd been put out of the house a year prior, longer than a year prior to that, and found out that my wife and daughter could live by themselves in the house without me, as long as I supplied money and did the maintenance to the house. And that was a shocker to me. You know, I thought, Dad was great. You can't live without me, man. I'm fucking king. Excuse my language. I can tell you what to do, and if you don't do it, I'm going to be self-seeking, and I'm going to be righteous about it, and I'm going to create a little fire and then show you how I can put it out and come out of that storm bunker and say, damn, isn't it nice that wind stopped blowing? Doesn't that sound familiar a little bit? And I found a sponsor. I walked into Simple Actions and found a sponsor. It's this goofy dude with this handsome handlebar mustache. He's got great skin. He might be in here. I'm not going to bust him out, though. But this guy became my sponsor, man. I was hopeless. He looked over at me and he smiled. I can't remember exactly what he said, but won't you come to, you know, Many a Strange Camel the next night? And I think I was there, or the next week, or whatever, however that works. A little foggy on the details, but, you know, I picked up, that's, God willing, that's my last white chip I've picked up, except to hand them out when I've chipped. And I hope that is the last white chip. I really don't want to do this again. I don't think I've got it in me. I really don't. I'm going to backtrack a little bit. I'll bring us up to status quo, but there's some things I kind of got to go into, and I'm going to try to stay general, because I don't want to trauma dump with you guys at all. So October 1st, 2023, sobriety date, my home groups. I do have a new sponsor. I've got an old sponsor. I've got some spunkles. I've got some friggin' dudes that I hang out with from AA. I meditate and pray with, and we share, and gay, straight, pink, purple. I mean, transitioned, whatever. It's like these people are all souls incarnated in some physical body, if you will, who have gotten something more than me, and I keep going back and getting a little bit more. But I mentioned the Deep South earlier. I mentioned Mississippi, and I can't talk up here about sobriety without talking about the key for me is the generational trauma that I don't know if you have to look at that. I don't know if you have to. Me being philosophical and be wordy and having this big brain that thinks I'm the smartest guy in the room, and maybe I'll come up with a reason later on to try to prove it, but I'd be doing a disservice to myself and everyone else in here. But knowing what my father told me about our past in Mississippi and Louisiana, we've got Mississippi and West Virginia relatives, so the incest jokes run deep. it's you know, some of these traumas were repeated into my generation, and I won't go into details, and I passed it on, and I'm thankful that with a little bit of help from good therapists early on in life and kind of people who had something. I don't know if any of these therapists were 12-steppers or had smart recovery or had anything that could have done other than having a great listening ear. But I was able to approach a relative of mine who I'm very close to, and we're still very close, and make what I knew now as I'm making an amends. You know, and I was 25, 26, and she and I sat in this car together and boo-hooed for like 20 minutes. And at the end of it, you know, it was relief. It was relief. And that was my first true experience with that. I carried that forever. I carried that 15, 16, 17 years, you know. And at some level, it's still got a stain on me. But, you know, once you start to fill it in with God's grace, if you will, and I have a very liberal understanding of God, right? It begins to be a place where you'll attract others who need some absolution. And that ain't me. That's me witnessing it. That's us witnessing a power greater than ourselves, right? You know? Nonetheless, I'm still out thinking, I feel good now. I'm done, you know, 6 months of therapy. I'm going to go try some more weed. I can do that. Oh, I'll make some freebase cocaine. And all along, you know, there's whiskey and there's some tequila and all the wonderful labels we don't need to go into. Girlfriend's a bartender. She's, God, she's half Korean Irish. My God. It's another meeting. Okay. And, you know, all along, just the years of managing this and thinking I can figure this out with self-will. I can figure this out with self-knowledge. I can figure it out with logic and reason. And I cannot do that. And I see myself today truncating or cutting off with my breath and with a call to a sponsor, laughter with my old sponsor, talking to a sponsee who's teaching me just as much as I'm teaching him. It's, you know, any tune my name, any two people make an AA meeting, the Buddhists got their own phrases for it, and it is a magical experience. You know, it's, and I want that Deep South stuff runs crazy. It's beyond all some of the things I've alluded to. I remember my great-grandfather, who is probably the major patriarchal lineage holder I had to really kind of come to grips with. And he was Granddaddy Davis, and he was World War I veteran. And he fought in I believe Chateau Thierry in France was World War I conflict. I'm not mistaken about that. And as my dad and I actually were in France back in the early, mid-80s, we actually saw my father's name on the wall because they had a small memorial in there, William F. Smith of the Rainbow Division. And that's insane. There's my dad, but this is Granddaddy Davis, his grandfather, my great-grandfather, who fought in that war. A man came back so broken from that war. And there weren't resources like there are today. You know, there was barely AA at the time. There was barely therapy. There was maybe somebody meditating on a hillside over in, you know, a couple thousand miles across over to the east or west, depending on your perspective. But a man came back and traumatized three boys and three girls, like you read about. And, you know, I heard this from a couple of different relatives, and my father would not shut up about this stuff as a kid. And I hated my father for so long. Sitting in front of one of those 1960s teleprompter, learning to read for speed and read for content, learning to do land and day navigation, learning to do at-sea navigation in the lower Chesapeake Bay, learning to tie knots, learning to shoot a 45, learning to shoot an M1 carbine, learning to debate and argue, to play the devil's advocate for your opposition in a debate so you can know what they're going to bring up so you can always be the one that's never backed into a corner. Because I don't want to get backed into a corner, ever, in combat or in an argument or in a conversation. Or if I carry that into a relationship with my 16-year-old daughter, who is 5'9 and a half, 150 pounds, of smoking, beautiful, smart, sees her dad as an addict and alcoholic, and sees the brilliance I'm trying to bring about with God's grace, with some power bigger than me, this is where it's at, you know, is presencing this effort with these steps. And, you know, I mentioned that word H-A-T-E. It's a hard word to say. And through the years of therapy and letting it go, right, or alchemizing it, if we will, that helped. But it always gave me the excuse, the celebration, to go back out. And I'll just smoke a bowl and maybe a couple beers. I'll do that. I can figure this out, right? I'm smart, man. You know, miracles and these people talking about God, it's just not going to work for me. It's not logical. I can't reason myself away. I can't reason myself out of the situation. I'm just going to drink it out, smoke it out, sex it out, think it out. Horseshit. It doesn't work. You guys can guess who's number one on my inventory. I got to tell you, I'm so thankful for him today. And I'm going to try to be cohesive here. It's in the midst of sitting on the beam, and sometimes to the left, sometimes to the right, sometimes above, below, down on earth, whatever it is, being close enough to it to hear him with his old, his curmudgeon-y ways at 84, forgiving him for serious financial grievances of God, all this stuff, these resentments, right? And knowing that he did the best he could. He didn't come in here with a manual. He did the best he could. So, looking at him now, he saved me from myself. He saved me from myself when I was arrested at 11, 12 years old down at First Precinct in Norfolk. He saved me from $150,000 worth of equity as I'm spinning fucking cuckoo at the Virginia Beach psych. You know, I'd have taken that money. Who knows what I would have done with that? Who knows what I would have done with that? And, you know, look at it now, the things we're able to accomplish when I can get out of the way and I start to listen. And I work in my meditation and my prayer, and I work with Tyler and I laugh with Ben and go through a conversation with Ben where I'm resenting him and loving him 2 seconds later. And seeing Coy and seeing you guys, Steve, who saved me last time I spoke here, man, I was so anxiety-ridden, I couldn't handle myself. Been saying a lot of I, right? A lot of I stuff. You know, I want to go back a little bit, too. This hyper-excitability in me as a kid, this happens to all of us at some level. These near-drowning, near-death experiences, too. See, adrenaline, man, it's the hook. I want a hook. I need a hook. I need a new intellectual, emotional. Well, if I needed a spiritual hook, I got one, you know, 30 years, 40 years later, arguably, and that's being here right now. I've given up everything. Drugs and alcohol have gotten in my way of everything. Alcohol, primarily. It's my primary purpose. I started drinking Ghibli's gin and my granddad's Ghibli's gin. Tasted like crap at around 10, 11 years old. Started smoking weed right after that. Pretty sure that bowl of weed had some other substance in there too. Made me feel like shit, but don't you know, I went right back after it. I kept going after it. Because eventually I got dumbed it down, so I just got lost and I could escape the emotional pain in my life. Gave up a great military career. Was recruited at ODU to play soccer as a goalkeeper. Giving up my degree, my interest in my military career, my dreams to be an artist. My marriage is on the rocks, but my wife, who is smarter than I am in many ways, acknowledges that I'm going to sound airy-fairy for a second. Our sole contract might be over as a married couple, but our relationship as a stepdad and a father is not, and our co-parenting is not. About 8 months ago, a little less than that, I was able to make an amends to my stepdaughter. And that amends opened up lots of tears and joy. And last Wednesday, she called me and said, I want you to speak. I want you to speak at my wedding. Her wedding was this past Friday, a week ago. And I had to make sure I had to cry in that hotel room for a good half an hour before I was able to go up and speak. And you know how I started my toast to her? I was the second person to toast her. My wife, her mom, was the first, and I was the second person I toasted. And I said, how am I going to do this? And my good friend of mine, she said, why don't you just pretend like you're sharing at an AA meeting? And I got up there and did it and hammered it. I said, hey, I'm Ben. I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. Oh. Wrong venue, and 10 people couldn't handle it. A couple of us in there, you know. And I'm like, hey, I can't. What, man? Are you kidding me? Why? And half an hour later, and my daughter is 16. She's after she's finished her first, you know, champagne glass. She's on to Pinot Grigio, and she's like, Dad, look at this. I'm like, yeah, okay. How you feeling? Good? Okay. You gonna drink more? Do what you want. Just notice how your body feels. So glad she put it down. Maybe she'll pick it up again. There's a program for her. You know, and I'm getting a little lost. You know, but there are a couple of things that I want to hammer down in a very nuts and bolts way. This spiritual stuff is kind of, it's okay, right? I can talk this philosophy stuff, but really, Steve Soifer, who just passed away, you know, he and Joe Lowry have been taking a Salvation Army meeting to the Men's Center on Virginia Beach Boulevard for 10 years, I think, and they hammer steps 1, 2, and 3. So I'm unmanageable. I need help. Please help me. Okay? I am unmanageable. I need help. Please help me. And just maybe I'll get a little sanity out of that. And, you know, step one is really the only step we can get hold. I've got that. I know it. I know that. Step two and step three, all the rest of them, they're theoretically, we can perfect that, right? But really not. We can keep approaching it. They're guideposts to the linear path of life to death and living a life that's purposeful and driven with hope. I came into AA with a fairly sturdy meditation practice, but I did not come in seeing how steps 1, 2, and 3 were really that important, right? I read it in the big book, and that was important for me to read it, but I needed it translated to me because I'm up in the air. I'm pink clouded, loving it. Meet this friggin' alcoholic, drug addicted, sex addict yoga teacher 6 months later, and boy, F around and find out. Excuse my language, but I pulled the leave and the knee pads out. I'm not shitting. Excuse my language. Okay? I don't mean to be weird, but within a month, I got consequences that led me into horrible consequences that I was really ready to not live anymore. And if it hadn't been for other people who successfully done that, I'd have taken more steps towards it. And knowing I needed help, you know, when I approached Tyler, I was obviously unmanageable. I needed help and I asked for help. And within a month, I was working on that inventory, which took me to a place of sharing these dark secrets and bringing them to light, because that darkness serves a purpose. There are no mistakes. That darkness serves a purpose because without it, we wouldn't have the contrast of where to go. So that willing to admit my unmanageability, willing to know I need help and go to ask for it, brings me closer to the beam. And the beam's always been there. The beam's always been there and always will be there. How willing am I to be authentic, and how willing am I to be working in humility to step towards that beam? And I know it sounds really, this may sound a little bit weird, but this beam has always been here. And in Christianity, we can make analogies to it in Buddhism. And I'm going to bring in just a little bit of some weird words, some Sanskrit and yoga words. Anybody ever heard the word Sushumna? Sushumna? Supposedly a center channel down from our head to our root. And that is a beam, if I've ever heard of one. It's a central channel. In Chinese medicine, there's the governing and conception vessels. They intertwine from crown to root, and they've got different yin and yang parts and pieces. But here's the beam, and here is Dr. Bob, Bill Wilson, and the rest of the crew, names we know, names we don't know, names I'm learning all the time, us right here sitting in this room, trying to get towards the beam, right? And this is all philosophical stuff, but what keeps me towards the beam is the nuts and bolts of this program. Being willing to be vulnerable and working towards the end goal of being sober right now. and abstaining from the stuff that harms me and harms others, and hopefully leads to a little bit of emotional sobriety. There are a couple things that have become really clear to me. The darkness or the challenge, the temptation, creates my stinking thinking. Does it serve to the betterment of others, or could it harm me or another person? If I can check yes to that, I need to slow my roll. I need to call somebody. I need to inventory. I need to journal. I need to share that journal with someone, specifically a sponsor or somebody I trust. And I'll be arrogant for a minute. I don't know how we can get throughout our day without a little bit of meditation and prayer. And this does not have to be done in a religious sense. I look at, you know, coming into this program, I had my meditation, right? But now that I'm applying the principles of 1 through 12, and especially, I'm going to back up for a second, that 1 through 5, 6, 7, asking for God's grace and asking for my character defects to be removed and replaced with assets and God's grace. If I'm willing to sit in that meditation for just 5 minutes a day, or even 60 seconds, or catch myself in a Costco line and there's 15 people in front of me, even though the Costco line goes damn fast over off Military Highway, I'll say that. Traffic, etc. When I'm challenged by my daughter, my stepdaughter, my wife the other day saying, you know, I really don't want to travel with you anymore. I don't think we're done with this thing. You know? It's been culminating for a couple of years. I was able to sit and talk and listen. We finished our meal and we laughed and we cried and I have you guys, and I've got two beautiful stepkids and an amazing daughter. My father's still alive. I get to witness him. I get to witness my mother. I get to learn forgiveness for myself and staying connected to this program. There's a couple of things I do want to mention. I'm getting a little lost. I apologize. You know, abstinence versus sobriety. For me, tier one abstinence is being having alcohol and mind-altering substances removed. Tier two is the truth to real sobriety, which goes beyond the sobriety date and into the spiritual presence, embodying steps 10, 11, and 12, the waking world in all our affairs. You know. I saw myself about 7 months ago get wrapped up in the drug and alcohol recovery industry, and I absolutely love it. I want to save every one of them. But who's going to save me? Mm-hmm. You know, when you're on to your 140, 142 hours, 135 hours in 2 weeks, my emotional sobriety is kaput as I'm getting called into the head lady's office to watch a videotape of me seconds away from reaching across the counter and chokeslamming somebody. That's not sobriety. That's not. It's just not. I mean, this is a man who's sick and suffering. Can I see his broken spirit? Can I see his broken emotions? Can I see his pain in his heart? Can I see his brokenness and be willing to help him? And I got to be honest with you, I can't all the time. I cannot. That's why I got to get up here and be vulnerable, and that's why I've got to ask for help. Mm-hmm. And I got to keep coming back here. You know, I was recently brought down after going through the stress and the pain of that, which was beautiful, because it was a drug going there and getting, I was like, whoa, you're doing this, man, talking these stuff, and you can see somebody with full-on step one, man, wow, look at this dude go. I remember this cat about 2 months ago coming out of his clothes, and meth and ice and alcohol. He ain't got a problem with alcohol, because he can put it down, right, but meth and ice has got him crawling out of his clothes, and he's just sitting there almost naked, and I'm just looking at him like, man, you gonna take the rest of it off, man? Come on, let's go. Let's do it. You know, two BHTs. It's about 9:30 at night. he's been detoxed from Sendera, and he's here with us, and we're like, well, you know, lo and behold, 2 days later, 3 days later, he was chill, man. He was down to earth. He did AMA after a while, but I pray that he got something that, you know, is beyond what's stricken any of us, which is self-mistrust and self-seeking, and I have a feeling he has in some form. I really want to err on the strength and the hope here, the hope and experience. The experience got murky. I tried not to go too traumatic with that, and I don't think I did. I mean, West Virginia, Mississippi, it's just, they got good food, so. I am not going to be able to make it through this life without my 10, 11, and 12. I need to go into staying in conscious contact with God. How do I do that? I'm not sure. I can tell you how I do it. And it's when I can breathe and respond to a situation and shut up and listen to someone else. And if I'm lucky enough to have had 20 minutes of meditation a day, great. If it was a foxhole prayer, great. Some of my best days have been with foxhole prayers. Some of my worst days have been after I meditated and friggin' half lotus and did a headstand 20 minutes before it. Who'd have thought, right? It was all the blood rushing in my head? You know, I'm not sure, but, you know, and so step 10 is, I need to make my amends. I need to stay into conscious, I need to stay in, excuse me, I'm getting convoluted, you guys. I'm a Gemini Aquarius, so I'm all out in the air. Somebody laughed. That's why I was hugging a tree. That's why I was chugging and hugging a tree earlier, right? So, you know, and the service work. So my whole point of bringing up avenues and working where I was I let go of my commitments at night. I let go of my sponsees. I lost a sponsee how dare he give me my inventory? And how dare he do that? He was right about it all. He told me I needed to prioritize. And I'm like, how dare you tell me I needed to prioritize? You taking my inventory? Yeah, he was, and he was right. So it's a double-edged sword. It's beautiful. Since this last month, I've been able to reconnect with my sponsor, have a new sponsor, my sponsees, and I've been able to reconnect with these meetings and shut up and listen. Sometimes I share, sometimes I don't. Admitting when I'm wrong, stepping into that place, admitting when I'm wrong, because we all know it when we're wrong. We make amends. How can we make our wrong right? How can we bring around God's grace in that? Step 11, it's great. Prayer and meditation, we say a lot about that, I'm not going to. Step 12 is probably the best part of that, because that takes me out from the status quo of the recovery and the recovery unity and the service, and puts me into the service, that last kind of leg of the triangle. I'm recovered now, and I'll probably be recovered the rest of the night, but in order to do that, I got to stay connected. That's the unity. And then to really connect the triangle is that service. I like to talk. But I'm not doing any good if I'm not listening to, if I'm not prompting somebody to share, and if I'm not sharing anything that's decent. So that service, being out, making my meetings, sharing when I can, stepping aside and letting my sponsees teach me something, which God Almighty, by far, I feel like I learn more and more going through the 12 and 12 and the big book, letting them read, we read. I'm working with a guy who's autistic. We read very, very slowly. He is bright as hell. God, he's so bright. This guy can read a schematic. He can tell machinists over on the shipyard what to do and build. Can't read worth a lick. Hard for him, but he's got a brain for something else, and that's amazing to me. You know, the things that have happened to me in the last year and a half, 2 years, you know, my credit's gotten better. I'm not rich. Sometimes I do feel like I'm working from paycheck to paycheck. My customers, as a carpenter, my customers depend on me. They know I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. Sometimes I shoot my finger with a nail gun. Gotten good enough to move it out of the way most of the time. I just nick myself on occasion. I have a key right here to my house that my daughter and my wife live in. I was there earlier today up on the scaffold working. My daughter can trust me. I wish she'd give me more affection. Damn it, I need that external validation. One of y'all call her later. Tell her, Dad's important, right? I feel like I broke up with my girlfriend. Like when she started hitting 12, and we would snuggle all the time. From what I told you guys about this generational trauma stuff, Segway became a massage therapist about 20 years ago. That was a huge healing for me to be able to touch other people without it becoming sexual. And I knew I could do that work because I had had enough of something bigger than me go into that work. And being able to touch women and other men and gay men and gay women and be able to help them in a therapeutic way, having my daughter ask me to rub her back at night, having her... We read House on Pooh Corner must have been three times. That's about a 200 page book, you know. Where to the point now, if I touch her on her shoulder, that's acceptable. But if I push her at all, I might be getting a right hook. I'm not quite sure. Or she's going to get a ball full of hair. I'm helping my mother and father restore their house in a very very bare bones understanding of that. So this is all my affairs, all of my affairs in my life. They all know I'm recovering and we're staying recovered today, and it ripples out. You know, I tried being on a dating app about 4 months ago, meet this beautiful, smart young lady from Manhattan. She's an accountant, an investment accountant with a condo in Manhattan, working in Manhattan. Within a couple of weeks, she's like, yeah, you mentioned something on your profile about sobriety and all this stuff, and then what happens next? I'm sending her a copy of the 12 and 12. You know, so I saw through the need. Right? I didn't sign it, just sent it to her through Amazon. I couldn't sign the darn thing. She hasn't even cracked it yet. But I won't hear from her for a week, and then she'll call me after a bender with alcohol and a little bit of cocaine, because she can manage her cocaine. She can't quite manage her alcohol, but kind of thinks she can if she can just figure this out. Right. Brilliant. Okay. Well, that's all that frontal lobe, executive memory stuff, whatever. You know, we drop in. This is a big mysterious soup of godness, goddessness, whatever we want to call it. Power greater than me, great spirit. This is a friggin' amazing journey. It really, really is, and I'm just getting started, y'all. I'm just getting started. And I got to look at some of you heavy hitters in here who've been doing this 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, 5 years, 3 years, 30 days. It don't matter. I went to a meeting last night at Salvation Army, and the guy, 50 guys in there, and we shared too much because there was... We usually, about 5 minutes apiece, we got about 30, 40 minutes to let them share. We ran into where it was only 20 minutes left, and one guy piped up at the back. He's like, this is our meeting. I can't believe it. I'm upset with you guys. Da, 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 da. The people here don't support me. The manager's just like, I'm going to go out and use. I feel like using. I want to use. I'm done with this crap. Now, I remember I'd already shared, and I said, I see you, bro. I got you. You know, and I'm working with him Monday morning. I'm going to go talk with him. He feels like dying. He doesn't want to live. He wants to go out and use. Everybody there is full of bullshit. It's all about them and they. If y'all know Willie, comes to Candlelight. Y'all know Willie? That dude hit me one night so hard with some knowledge. He's like, Willie will stow about some them and they. He's a Deep Creek wrestler, by the way. So that's why I identify with that dude so much. But hold on a segue. I'm sorry. Tangential. I'm going to wrap this up. I promise. You know, I get to work with this guy Monday. But listening to him, his daughter's coming in town with his wife soon. He's full of regret, full of pain. But he wants something, man, you know? He can see he's unmanageable. Nothing about this God thing. He don't want to mess with it. But he knows he's unmanageable. He's seen it time and time and time again. Like, what do you think? Like, over 20 rehab facilities in his late 40s? Yeah, that's unmanageable, right? I really need to stop, you guys. I'm getting a little weird with my talking. I just could not do this program. This is a beautiful program, and I really don't want to admit it. I want to still think that I could go eat a friggin' edible brownie, some shit in 6 months and be okay, or go to Peru in 2 years and I do ayahuasca. probably not a good idea. You know, I think hugging the tree is about as far as I need to go with any more plant medicine. And alcohol is a plant medicine by far. Thank you for your patience, y'all. Thank you for your love. You fucking rock. Thank you very much.
Where am I at? All right, our seven tradition states that every group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Money collected at this meeting covers donations to the church and supplies. The rest is given to the Tidewater Intergroup, District 24, and the General Services Office. Are there any AA-related announcements?
Hi, I'm Tyler Alcoholic.
Hey, Tyler!
Salvini mentioned earlier Saturday a service that's happening tomorrow morning at the Bayside Presbyterian Church on Grammy Street. Talbot Park Church on Grammy Street. Thank you very much for the correction. Long day. That's from 10 to 2. That's the worst named event in AA history because we go there to have food and fellowship. So show up hungry, we'll feed you. That's all I got to share. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Tyler. Thanks,
my name is Steve Roach, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Steve.
Last Wednesday of this month at the Smithfield Group, have several celebrants to be picking up some chips. Our very own Coy here to be picking up a 2-year medallion for continuous sobriety.
Yeah!
And they got some speaker there flying in via burrito. Jason, get a flying burrito.
Thanks, Steve.
I got one. Hey everybody, I'm John. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, John.
Monday, July 28th, those guys down at Simple Actions are doing their separate speaker. What's his name? Mike B.
Yeah.
Coming down from Maryland to do his speaking. Supper's going to be around 6. The speaker's going to be around 7. And yeah, it's a great dish if you wish. Come join us. That's going to be in Cali, Gate United Methodist, 1301 Raleigh Avenue.
531 Raleigh Avenue.
531. Those numbers, I hate them. Yeah. I know that it's across the street from my apartment. If y'all get lost, just come over to my place. Anyway, yeah, separate speaker, that's the 28th of July.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
Jim Dong, all right.
Jake.
Hey, Jake.
Ben, thanks for speaking tonight. We appreciate that. Next week we have Mr. Ben, other S.
Nice.
We've got Tyler S.
Yeah.
On the last Friday. And then July 4th, we do have a speaker. His name is Kyler K. He's going to be speaking here. He's going to be supplying us speakers for next month as well. So please come on out and watch these guys share their experience, strength, and hope. Also, the District 24 annual picnic is this September 20th at the Portsmouth City Park. Flyers, I hope to have flyers by next week. They're being created as we speak, I hear. So I just need to get those out to you guys. And then that is at Portsmouth City Park at the Triple Shelter. We're going to have food, pie in the eye. You can throw a pie in Steve Roach's face. I hope he comes again because that was a big moneymaker for us. thank you. That's all I got.
Thanks,
Jake. Thanks,
Jake.
Walt, thanks for coming up.
Hey, Walt.
I know we brown bag group to meet on Tuesdays over at Westminster Church, over in Suffolk, only once before, but it's the last Tuesday of the month. Kirk W. will be celebrating 19 years, and Eric will be celebrating 2, and Dennis McBride will be our speaker. So if anybody wants to go over King and I are coming, come check us out. Thanks.
Thanks,
Walt. Are there any other announcements? All right, I have one. So besides this speaker meeting that you're at tonight on Fridays, we also have a big book study, same time, same place, different day. It's on Tuesday. And then, let's see, last but not least, I've asked a friend, Steve, to come up and pass out the chips.
Good evening. My name is Steve Rocha, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Steve.
Ben, thank you for coming out. We appreciate you. Where'd he go?
He's there.
Oh, there you are. We appreciate you coming out. Thank you. We were going to announce Jake's anniversary this month, but he forgot it's not this month. It's like every other year we celebrate it on a different month. So next month we're going to celebrate Jake's anniversary. He's going to have 10 years of continuous sobriety. Anyways, we give out these chips in Alcoholics Anonymous to mark our journey in sobriety. There are no dues or fees for AA memberships. So as a direct result, we don't have any membership cards. There's really no way to prove you're in Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Because everything we do here is on the honor system. So if you come up here tonight, we're going to give you a chip for as long as you say you've been sober. Is there anybody here tonight that'd like to pick up a white chip and start to swear your life, say they got sober on a Friday night in downtown Metropolitan Driver? All right. Anybody have 30 days of continuous sobriety, counting weekends, holidays, and days off? And we got gold chip for 60 days, 90 days, 6 months, 9 months, 1 year, and a year thereafter, not a member of this group. Congratulations, sir. Tell them how many years you got.
I just made 2 today, actually.
Yeah! All right, so if you join this home group, when your anniversary rolls around, we're going to get you a cake, some ice cream, we'll have pony rides for the kids, and you get a nice bronze medallion with the Roman number of the years that you've been sober. Any second thoughts on the white chip? Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Steve. Let's see here. So we at the Interaction Group believe that one of the important keys to long-term contented sobriety is effective sponsorship. If anyone here tonight needs a sponsor, please see me after the meeting and we'll make sure that you have one tonight. Interaction is a home group. If anyone here tonight is looking for a group to join, we welcome you here. And for those of you who will, please join me in saying the Lord's Prayer.